4 that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Well, we talked about that. He didn't have to go through Samaria. Most of the times, the Jews either went around the Jordan River and up, or they went around the Mediterranean up, because they didn't like going through Samaria. It was a bad neighborhood. People were there who were pagans, and they hated the Jews, and the Jews were filled with animosity. But the Bible says in verse 4 that Jesus had to go there. And the reason we found out he had to go there was to bring the gospel, not only to this Samaritan woman, but actually to start the church there in Samaria as well. You remember that the theme last week was God knows where you are spiritually. He knew where this woman was. And you remember this woman? She was an adulteress, and she had had 5 husbands, and now she was living with a man who was not her husband. But we remember, too, that not only does God know where each of us lives, where we are spiritually, but we also see the goodness of God. And the first thing the goodness of God does is show us our sinful nature, that we need a Savior. And so Jesus worked with this woman until she made the confession. And she said, "I see, Lord, that you are a prophet." She confessed that what he had said was true. And then we see the goodness of God gives life to those who ask. And she did ask in verse 15. She said, "Oh Lord, where do I find this living water?" Well, now we turn to verse 19. John chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus says to the woman, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." We see in this text, this woman has been brought to know, and she's been confronted with her sinfulness. Well, she had been living in sin. You remember that she had to come to the well alone because the rest of the women in the village wouldn't come with her. She was being shunned. But she was living with that. She was comfortable with that. Only when she met the Savior, because Jesus had to go there, he had to meet this woman, only then was she confronted face to face with her sin. And that's why in verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." This short verse is really a question. The woman is confronted with her sin and what terrible sin it was. And she looks to Jesus, whom she's acknowledged as a man from God. And she says, "Where do I go? Where do I go to be cleansed? Where do I go to be saved? Do I go up to the mountain Gerizim, where our fathers worshipped? Or do I go where you Jews go, down to Jerusalem? Where can I go to be cleansed and to be saved?" And Jesus teaches her, and Jesus reminds us today as well, that you only find true salvation, you only find cleansing through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. You find true salvation only through Jesus Christ. Jesus points out to this woman and to us today first of all, that false religion is just empty. False religion is empty of salvation. But second of all, he confesses. In fact, this confession to the woman is the first time Jesus makes this statement so bold and so clear. Salvation is revealed through Christ alone, which is one of the four alones, by the way, of the Lutheran Church we know is true. Salvation is revealed through Christ alone. But then also, Jesus teaches, thirdly, that now is the time for true worship. Now is the time for true worship. The woman says, where do I worship? Where do I go? Where can I meet God and be cleansed? And Jesus tells her that false religion is empty of salvation. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You notice she doesn't say, I worshipped on the mountain. She doesn't say, I go up to the mountain and worship every Sunday. No, she belongs to a family of religious people. She belongs to a tribe, a country, if you will, that has religious traditions, much like Christianity is the religious tradition of our country today. But you can belong in a culture that's comfortable with Christianity and not be saved. You can be comfortable with the Christian church and not be saved. And certainly anyone that belongs in a false religion, worshiping empty idols, is not saved. False religion is empty of salvation. Her fathers practiced religion. It's a past tense, by the way. Our fathers practiced religion. It didn't do any good. It didn't do her any good. It wouldn't do her any good in the future. There's nothing there, Jesus says to her. And about Jerusalem? Well, Jesus has two things to say about that also. He tells the woman, you don't even know what you're worshiping. Now, why is that? Well, you remember the Samaritans broke from Jerusalem way back in the days after King Solomon. 800 years ago, the northern kingdom broke from the southern kingdom. They would not go to Jerusalem to worship God. Well, that was a pretty big mistake on their part, because in those days, God revealed himself through the temple. God met his people in the holiest of holies. He met the high priest. That's where atonement was found. What's more, Jesus says, when he says salvation is of the Jews, Jesus is saying the truth about who God is, the truth about who you are, and the truth about your only opportunity to be saved is revealed through God's word. And up to that day, God's word had been revealed through the Jews only. Only the Jews had been blessed to receive the word of God. And so the Samaritans, they had the first five books of the Pentateuch, of the Bible. But you know what? The first five books contained the Ten Commandments. She knew she was a sinner. But she didn't have any of the history. She didn't have any of the prophecies, none of the Psalms, none of the revelation of God. But she did know this. And she tells Jesus, Messiah is coming. Even in the first five books in the Bible, God reveals that he would send a Savior. And she says, I know he's coming. But all this worship they were doing on Gerizim, all this worship in the high places, it was worthless. It's empty religion. And that goes on in our own country today. Anyone who is not worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's empty worship. It's mere form. It's just tradition. It gives people a good feeling. It's worthless. Doesn't affect people's lives any more than mountain worship helped this woman to turn away from sin in her life. False religion is empty of salvation. Salvation is revealed only through Jesus Christ. There's a great passage in the very beginning of the book of Isaiah where God talks about how empty religion, even in Jerusalem. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, God says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs of goats. When you come before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Your incense is an abomination to me, the new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity." Do you see that? "I cannot endure iniquity. And the sacred meeting, your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. And when you spread out your hands, I will hide my face. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood." Doesn't matter where people go. If they don't love God with all their soul and all their heart, if they don't love their neighbor, if they're not following God's word, which is now revealed to us as Jesus Christ, it's empty religion. God hates it. Salvation is revealed through Christ. She says to him, "I know the Messiah." She doesn't use the word "the." She says, "I know Messiah is coming," just like we call Jesus Christ. We don't call him the Christ. He is the Christ. We call him Christ. It's his name. We call him that. Well, she says, "I know Messiah is coming." And in verse 26, Jesus says, "The one who is speaking to you is he." He says, "I who am speaking to you, I am he." Jesus declares he is the Messiah. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I had an epiphany when I was studying this Hebrews text. Funny thing is, I've been looking at this text for 2 weeks. The epiphany came to me last night. A little tiny epiphany, but it was a blessing I want to share with you. Look at that text we read earlier today from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest." The holiest was that place in the temple where the ark was stored. You remember that? And it was guarded by a veil, a heavy tapestry. And when I say heavy, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And only one man could go through that veil into the holiest where the ark was, and that was the high priest. And before he went, he had to do his atoning sacrifices and was sprinkled with blood. And then they tied a golden rope around his waist. And then he went through the veil. And you know what? If he wasn't a true believer, God would strike him dead. And that's why they tied the golden cord around his waist, so they could pull his body out so it wouldn't defile the holiest. Well, listen to these words. "Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest." That means to come into the presence of God. "By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil," that is his flesh, Jesus' flesh, "having a high priest over the house of God." Do you know that veil in the temple was a type of Christ? It just came to me last night. I can't tell you how many years have I been studying this, and it just came to me. God, when he told him how to build the tabernacle, he created that veil, that heavy curtain. You could not get to God without going through it. And only one man back then could do it. Same is true today. You cannot come into the presence of God without coming through Jesus Christ, the new and living way. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in two? No more just the high priest. Now any of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior can come into the presence of God. But we come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I who am talking to you am he." In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said of those who believe in him, if you live in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Repent and believe the good news. Romans 10, 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 John 1, 9 says, for those who trust in Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what this woman wanted. That's why she asked Jesus, where do I go? Do I go to the mountain? Do I go to Jerusalem? And Jesus said, woman, an hour is coming, and now is, when you will worship the Father, not on that high hill nor down in Jerusalem, but you will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such is the Father seeking to worship him, because he is spirit. And those who must worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, but in the economy of God's time, Jesus was here. The time is now to trust in the Lord. Just as he said, repent and believe in the good news. This is the freedom that Christ brings, freedom that the woman was seeking. You can be free from your sins. You can be free from your guilt. And only in this freedom do we find true worship. Because only when you know that your sins are forgiven, only when you know that God no longer wants to punish you because he already punished his son for you, only then can you receive the love of God. And only then can you love him and worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus says, all true worshipers, that is the true church, worships the Father in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean in verse 23, spirit and in truth? The Bible tells us in John chapter 7 that everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior receives the Holy Spirit. And Jesus teaches in John chapter 3 that when you trust in Jesus, you also receive new spiritual life. New spiritual life that loves God. New spiritual life that wants to live the way God calls us to live. Not because we're afraid of punishment, not because we're afraid of judgment anymore. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not afraid of judgment. Judgment is done. As Josephina testified, Romans 5:1 says, you're judged not guilty by faith in Jesus Christ. But a heart, this new spiritual life that God gives you the moment you trust in Jesus as your Savior. God, I am a sinner. Jesus, save me. He gives you new life, new spiritual life. Jesus says you must worship the Father in spirit. Not only the new spiritual life that he gives you, but the Holy Spirit also guides you to know the truth. Jesus says you must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If you worship the Father, but you don't worship with the truth found in his word, Jesus said in John 17, 17, Father, I've given them your word. Your word is truth. Those who worship but depart from the word, we don't know what spirit is leading them. The Bible is very clear about salvation. The Bible is very clear about man. The Bible is very clear about Jesus, about God, about the whole doctrine of Scripture. If you depart from that, your old nature can lead you on any twisted trail. And we find people inventing false religions again or heresies in the church. In Luther's day, he called them enthusiasts. People who are just being led by some spirit, not the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit always works through the Word, but they're being led by some spirit, called enthusiasts. But Jesus says true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. They're like two links of a chain. You can't break them if you're a true worshiper. And we know that the truth is found in God's word. We know that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those who worship without the truth are these enthusiasts going off on weird tangents. And by the way, that always leads people to doubt their faith or doubt their salvation. But the opposite is true too. You can be a worshiper in truth, but not in spirit, and the world is full of them. You know, our universities and our seminaries are full of men who've gotten doctor's degrees in New Testament Greek, and they don't believe a word of it. It's just empty knowledge in their heads. The church is full of people like this. They believe that Jesus is the Savior. They believe they belong to the church. But they've never knelt before God and said, I am a sinner. Jesus, please be my Savior. Instead, they think, well, as long as my name's in the church book, right? As long as I belong. For the really devout ones who want to just worship in truth, as long as I go to church every Sunday, surely that will get me into heaven. Jesus says, no. True worshipers are those who worship in spirit. They've confessed, like this poor woman, their sins. They've asked God, where do I get this living water? Give me this living water. Be my Savior. And they've received spiritual life. But then, also, they've continued to be discipled by the truth of God's word. Our lesson today says God is seeking such to worship him, and only such worshipers are true worshipers. And in fact, that defines the true church. The true church. The true church belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the church council. The true church, worshiping in spirit and truth, belongs to Jesus Christ. And he has commissioned that church to go and to bring this truth to people like this poor woman who don't know it, so that they too can come to salvation. Dear friends, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Like this Samaritan woman, do you desire to be cleansed from all your sins? Do you want to be restored? Then God is calling you to his true church through Jesus Christ. God assures you that Christ has died for your sins. By raising Jesus on the third day, God assures you that you too have eternal life. You have new life, spiritual life, through Jesus Christ. And God calls you to worship in spirit and in truth. May God grant it to be true for each of us. Amen. Well, today is Reformation Day. There's no better Reformation hymn than A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 141. You know, as John warms up our magnificent organ, of which we're all so grateful, I just want to remind you that the church is not only the place where we worship in spirit and truth, but it is also a fortress. It is the place we go in this fallen world where we find refuge and where we find friends to encourage us and to help us in our walk and where we find the Word of God. A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never